I just wanted to share a little bit of news with you before I begin tonight. James Anderson completes his basic training here shortly, which is an amazing thing to me. So Dee Dee's mom has a card if you'd like to take a minute and maybe sign that. And also if you'd like to maybe share a scripture with him. In one of the letters he recently wrote to her, he mentioned that so many of the scriptures and memory verses and songs that he learned in this church as a young man have come to, he's come to understand them in a deeper way, and they've given him a lot of strength that he's gone through this basic training. So if you have a chance, sign that card. We are still in Acts, the fourth chapter, and tonight we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 22. Get my Bible on here. The questions we're going to be going over tonight, the first one is, what is your assessment of Peter and John's response to this command? The second one is, according to Scripture, discuss when it is right in the sight of God to disobey authority. So I am going to read verses 19 through 22 of chapter 4 of Acts. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So just to kind of do a little bit of a review so you kind of remember where we're at in this study. This is Peter and John have spent the night in the hold the day after the miracle was performed on the lame man who had been lame since his birth. He was miraculously healed there. I always think it's interesting to think about what that night must have been like for Peter and John as they were together in the hold and not able to go, and the conversation they must have had as they begin this amazing journey with their Lord. I do want to go back for a minute and read verse 8 just to kind of get us all back so we know what's going on. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And if you remember last week when we talked about Nicodemus, that word ruler here shows a position of authority. And as Peter begins to address this council, he calls them rulers and he calls them elders. And these are men of power and authority over the people and over the nation of Israel. But Peter is reminding them they are accountable to God and to God's people. Let's drop down and read verses 9 through 12. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which become the head of the corner. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We learn from the past teachings of these Wednesday nights of exactly what Peter meant when he said in that name of Jesus. And they would have heard that as Jesus, the anointed one. And what he meant when he said, whom you crucified. And this is the stone. We understand the scriptural depth and fulfillment of what Peter is saying at this point. But these rulers and these elders which make up the Sanhedrin do not yet have that full understanding. And we know from the following verses that the Sanhedrin, in fact, feel threatened by this whole movement. So the only thing that the Sanhedrin can do is to try and stop this movement by silencing Peter and John, forbidding them, as it says in verses 17 and 18, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in that name. So that gives us a review, which brings us back to verses 19 and 22, which you already read. So I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts regarding the response of Peter and John? What are your thoughts of that? What's your assessment of that? Oh, good, Max is our mic runner. Anybody have any thoughts? Mark?
After careful thought and careful presentation of the truth, they decided to tell the truth and not be bound to not tell the truth.
Amen. Kirsten?
I also thought it was interesting that Peter sets up a distinction here between them and God. Mm-hmm. And in their own minds, they were the authority of God. They were the law. Mm-hmm. And so this commandment to telling someone not to speak at all is kind of, you know, a lot.
Right.
And so to me, it reflected how much authority they felt was in their hands.
Yes.
And yet Peter kind of puts a division between those two things, sets them up as being different from one another. To obey God or to obey them were different things. And I just thought that was really an interesting part of what he makes clear to them.
Peter is very wise in this. Anyone else? Would you bring it up for the pastor, Maxwell? Pastor Buck has to add to it. While Max is coming up, I am going to go to Luke 21 next, if you want to turn to that in your Bibles.
You can tell right off that this was a God-anointed quickening of Peter when he answered these men. He put the question right to them to where they accepted all the responsibility and everything. It was their choice to make the decision that they made. And they knew that at that moment they weren't doing the right thing,
That's
but
right.
they didn't know how to get out of it.
That's right.
So they just think, well, we'll threaten them. That'll do it. But it didn't work.
It didn't work. They cannot stop this movement. Anyone else before we go into Luke? In Luke, the 21st chapter, I want to begin in verse 12. But before all these, this is Jesus speaking, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. God turns it into an opportunity to share his word, to tell others about God and what he offers mankind. Verse 14, settle. This word means determine. In your hearts. But in this heart, it isn't just our heart, but this has to do with our thoughts as well as our feelings. So it's like determine in your mind not to meditate, not to overthink before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay. They can't, they won't be able to refute it nor resist it. So we see here that they are doing just what Jesus had taught them. They are using this as an opportunity to testify about what God has done. So when Peter asked them in verse 19 of that Acts chapter, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. It's like what our pastor said. He turns that back to them. In verse 20, they say, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They are not adding or taking away anything. They are speaking the truth, and it's a very obvious truth. They are speaking first what they know, what they have seen, what they have witnessed, and what they have been taught. They stand here before this council with such boldness, that boldness that comes from God. Go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And I'm just going to read Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse number 15. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love is not just words, but it's also our actions. It's the way we behave and the way we interact with others. It is the way that we live our daily life before God and mankind. Go next to John, the 3rd chapter, and hold your place in Ephesians, because we're going to kind of come back and forth between Ephesians and John. In John, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 and 21. John 3, 20 and 21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Doeth truth. It's not just words. Actions must follow words. And that comes to the light, those deeds are manifest or seen of God. Our lives must be a light, something that all of mankind can see. And Peter and John, as they stand before this council, are shining so, so brightly as they stand so true and steadfast in that truth. Go to John, the 14th chapter. And I'm just going to read verse 6, John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus was that truth living inside Peter and John, the same as it lives inside of us when we receive that Holy Spirit. That Spirit of Jesus Christ leads us, it guides us, and it strengthens us. Drop down to verses 15 and 17 of this 14th chapter. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. That Spirit, when it comes inside, lives in us. It abides inside of us. It leads us, and it guides us in our daily life, just as it's guiding Peter and John now as they stand before that council. Go back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Truth is something we choose to put on, and we choose to make it a part of our lives. We grow in that truth, and it strengthens us. We live and walk daily in the truth through all situations. through all situations. We have seen and witnessed this truth the same way Peter and John did. Many of us have received that Holy Ghost the same way they did in that second chapter of Acts, with that same power. And that power gives us the ability to become that new creature, one that is now filled with light and filled with truth. Kind of keep this in your mind as we begin to discuss shortly about when it's right in the sight of God to disobey authority. So kind of keep all this in your mind. But go back to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, one chapter back, and read verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. As we grow and learn in this truth, that truth abides in us, that truth strengthens us, it leads us, it guides us, it teaches us, and it teaches us to walk circumspectly. That means carefully, diligently, think about what you're doing. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter. First Peter, second chapter, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are chosen, royal, holy, and peculiar because this truth, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, lives in us. And we show that in every part of our life. The decisions we make, how we act, how we speak, how we conduct ourselves and interact with each other and the world. So our assessment of Peter and John's response to this council is, good job. Good job. They spoke that truth in boldness. They behaved themselves as men full of truth. They totally trusted God in this situation. They allowed the Holy Ghost to lead and guide them. Their own natures were under the control of God, and his truth has shown forth. This is a wonderful example for us to follow if and when we find ourselves in a similar situation, which leads us to our next question. But before I started that next question, I want to know if you have any thoughts or comments about walking in this truth, doing this truth, as Peter and John have. Any thoughts or comments tonight before we go on? Anybody? Marty?
You know, looking at this particular part, I couldn't help but jump forward a chapter and think about the council of, I believe it was Gamaliel, mm-hmm. who, you know, told them that if this is from man, then it won't go anywhere. But
that's
if
right.
it's from God, who are you to really stand against it? And it's what Peter was asking here. And mm-hmm. I found a scripture, if I may read it real quickly, mm-hmm. in Jeremiah 7:23, and it says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward."
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? It is such a wonderful thing to see these two men stand here. And these are two men that really had the privilege of walking with Jesus for that 3.5 years. But they've been on a speed course in how to serve God and how to live. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And they right away come into some challenging times. But because of that Spirit of God inside that continually reminds them of what Jesus taught them and reminds them of who they are a man filled with the truth, with that Spirit of Jesus Christ, and they're going to show that. They're going to live that in every part of their life. So, gets us to the next question. According to Scripture, when is it right in the sight of God to disobey authority? When is it right? Mark?
If you sense that or understand that or know and are led by the Holy Spirit that the truth of God is being violated, you have no other choice.
Right.
In fact, one of the things that I think doesn't get accentuated in Acts, but right here, is how much the Holy Spirit was controlling these two men in their thinking and in their speech.
Amen.
And they may not have recognized it, they just lived it.
Amen. Amen. Hap?
You know, sometimes you're going to come up against situations, whether it could be a boss, it could be a preacher. You know, you're going to have to make a stand, just like Peter and John did here.
Mm-hmm.
But just like in, I think Marty was talking about the next chapter in verse 5, mm-hmm. chapter 5, 28, where it says that, didn't we straightly command you
right.
not to speak in that name?
That's right.
And that's where all the conflict comes in, is the name.
That's right.
And you got to stand up for the name. I think verse 29, Peter says, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
And with the Spirit of God inside you, when somebody tries to refute that name, you're obligated to show Scripture and stand boldly for that name.
Right.
And Jesus said that whatever you suffer for his name's sake, it's the namesake and standing up for that name. Peter and John are good examples.
Amen. And because remember, that Spirit abides in us. We are full of that Spirit. So when that we're put in that position, that Spirit is going to lead. That's why he said, don't meditate, don't overthink. I will give you a mouth and I will give you wisdom. We just have to have our own nature under control of that Spirit and let the Spirit do what the Spirit wants to do. Incomplete faith, especially for these men, because we see as they meet many challenges. Anybody else want to comment before we start kind of picking this apart? Mark again.
Sorry to keep jumping back in, but I think it was R. Paul who said last week that we have to approach this in humility.
Amen.
And when we approach it in humility,
amen.
Then we are just tools in God's hand.
That's right.
And that is an extreme degree of humility required for this little project.
Yes. And don't hesitate to jump in. I appreciate you jumping in every time. Kirsten.
The thing that came to my mind was this one that you already read where Jesus forewarned them.
Yes.
Because when you read it with this particular example, situation in mind, it says when this happens, when you're faced
right.
with this situation,
right.
don't overthink it.
That's right.
Tune into the Spirit
right.
and do what the Spirit says. So if
that's
the
right.
Spirit says you can't cooperate with this,
that's right.
then that's what you're going to do.
Right. And with that feeling that comes from the Spirit comes the strength to do it. Marty also had his hand up, and then Paul Matil.
Well, you know, there's the scripture that says that, you know, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word is forever. And if what you're being told is in contrary with his word and therefore becomes a sin, then we don't do it. But
amen.
The Colossians, the third chapter, is very, very clear on the things of the natural if they do not go against God's word, that we are to obey our masters, which
right.
would be our, you know, our bosses or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it talks about children obeying their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a duty and obligation in the natural, but when it comes to the spiritual things, there's no negotiation there.
Right.
But even then, it can be done in a godly way.
Amen. Very much so in a godly way. Paul.
Yeah, this, one of the scriptures I was looking at was Galatians, first chapter, verses 7 through 10 or 11, I guess. But that's the spiritual part of our walk. But even then, in the natural, working on different jobs, I've been asked to do things that weren't right. You know, weren't safety. For one thing, they were against the oil and gas regulations, but there were also safety issues. And, you know, a lot of times people, because they want to keep their job and all that stuff, they'll bend, you know. And, mm-hmm. and when you do, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to be a Christian, your coworkers look at you like,
right.
oh, you're supposed to be a Christian, but what about the other day when
right.
that came up?
Right.
So we have to be pretty aware of what's going on around us.
You can't just speak the truth. You have to do the truth. Actions have to follow. Very, very important. Anyone else? We know that in society, laws have a purpose and they're necessary. They protect our general safety. They ensure our rights against abuse by people or organizations or even the government. And we have them at every level, local, state, and national. So we know this natural law has a reason and a purpose, and it's good. Go first to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and I'm going to read verses 15 through 22. Matthew 22, 15 through 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk, wanting to entangle Jesus. And they sent out their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. He was not a respecter of persons. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Their intent was to trick Jesus. Can you disobey this law? But Jesus' answer was correct, and it worked for that day, and it certainly works for this day. Laws have a reason and a purpose, and many laws we just automatically obey because they're a part of our life. It makes our life better. It helps us to live in a peaceful society. The problem comes when the law interferes with our right to serve God according to his word. That's where the problem comes in. When it's going to make you've got to make that choice. It's like Paul said, you're in a situation that if you do something that is kind of borderline, okay, that's not doing the truth. We do the truth and we speak the truth. It's not always going to be make us the most popular person in the room, but in God, full of the Holy Ghost, full of his truth, we should live with integrity on a daily basis in all situations. I do want to read 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. 1 Peter. The 2nd chapter. I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. 1 Peter 2, and we're going to start in verse 12. Having your conversation, which we know here means conduct, having your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may by your good works which they shall behold, people see when you do the truth, they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We show God's glory when we do the truth. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it to be the king as the supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. We walk in obedience to God's word, which really includes walking in obedience to the laws of the land. In fact, it gives us the opportunity for other people to see that we walk uprightly, that we walk uprightly before God. So I wanted to look at any thoughts. I get going sometimes, forget to ask. I want to look at some other incidences where people made a choice to stand for God. Several of you have already talked about Acts, the 5th chapter, and we're going to go there too. And this is again Peter. So go back to Acts, the 5th chapter. Whoops. We're going to read verses 16 through 18. We have seen in this Acts, the 5th chapter, some incredible things that are happening, which we will actually begin to study in detail when we get there. But I want to start in verse 16. In Acts 5, verse 16. Whoops. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. We know that during this night, an angel comes and sets them free and tells them, go back to the temple and teach the people. But drop down to verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted if them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Didn't have to overthink that one. Not at all. We ought to obey God rather than man. So we see this Paul and Silas and what they have done. Amazing things that we read about these men, but yet they have that ability to stand so strong, so very, very strong. And let's go to Acts, the 16th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 20, Acts, the 16th chapter, and in verse 20. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They were doing that truth, speaking that truth, singing that truth. And it's so important to recognize how this young church dealt with persecution or opposition that came against them. They prayed. They prayed and they sought the mind of God. We see many incidents where they were beaten with stripes, not just these apostles, but so many. Beaten with stripes, put in bonds, imprisoned, yet they always stood for God and his word. Paul's life is such a great example of that, of a man who spoke the truth and did the truth. I want to look at a couple of Old Testament examples, but before I go on, any thoughts or comments? Any thoughts or comments? Marie? Max is going to give you a mic.
I was just reading the next verse. My eyes tend to jump ahead sometimes. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. I thought about that and thought about how easy it is to be wrapped up in the world in something, and then all of a sudden, God's Spirit comes in and he releases you.
Amen.
From that world.
Right. God is a great untangler. He is a great untangler. So we look in not only in the New Testament, we see so many people that stand for this truth of God, that when they would have to compromise God, they always choose God. But I wanted to look back in some Old Testament scriptures too. Turn to Exodus, the first chapter. Exodus, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 8 through 12. This is this scripture is at a time when the Israelites are still in bondage to Egypt. So Exodus, the first chapter, verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there be a falleth out any way, any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, as they built for the Pharaoh treasure cities of Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because the children of Israel. Okay, so I want to go down to verse 15. So he comes up with another plan. The king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one is Shiphrah and the other one was Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. They did what was right. They did what was right. Even though they were in bondage to this king and enslaved and under that as slaves, they were going to do what was right in God. I had a couple other examples, but we're already getting kind of late, so I'll talk about them. Daniel is a wonderful example of someone who stands before God. In the first chapter of Daniel, we are introduced to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these, along with Daniel, are four young men that have been taken captive out of the city of Jerusalem. King Nebuchadnezzar has conquered that. We know that these four young men refuse to eat the food of the king. They want to do what's right in God. God works all that out. There's several examples. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the ones that have to go into the fiery furnace because they will not bow down to that image. Daniel is a remarkable man. Daniel lived most of his life in exile. And we know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. But the reason he was thrown into that lion's den is because that king made an image and signed a document that said everybody had to bow down to this image and praise it. And Daniel wouldn't do it. Daniel's normal life was to pray three times a day. He would go to his home, he would open the window that faced to the east, and he prayed three times a day. Everybody saw that. It was normal for him. And so as these men that are against Daniel at this time, they want to get him. They want to catch him. Daniel doesn't even blink an eye. He hears this new commandment, but he goes to his home like he always has done. And he opens his window and he prays. He didn't even do it in secret. He opened his windows and he prayed. And we know that he gets thrown into the lion's den for this. And we know that God protects him in that time. Those are wonderful. It's wonderful to read that book of Daniel because Daniel really was, like I said, a man who lived in exile for most of his life. He lived under a different country and a different culture. He always did the truth and spoke the truth. Any thoughts? I want to finish up here quickly because I know it'll be kind of long. Any thoughts before I go on? I wanted to finish up. No one has the power to stop anyone from serving God. In this country today, we do have that freedom, for which I am very, very grateful. But that freedom to serve God isn't in all countries. We only have to watch and listen to the news to see that. But we do know that God has a people wherever he needs them. We know that our own lives are not just chance and circumstance. We are who we are, what we are, where we are, and what time in history we live because of God. This is where he saw us to be the most effective. He had Shiphra and Puah, the two midwives, the Hebrew midwives, where they needed to be, and he gave them the strength to make the right decision. You can go through this whole Bible. We see Rahab, who protected the Israelite spies, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Daniel. Go on down the line with these men and women that have stood for this truth on down through centuries. Think of how many lives were lost in the great persecution under the Roman Empire. Just stop. And think about what day we live in, the freedom we have, the freedom we have. We walk a holy highway, like that choir sings. We walk a holy highway with some remarkable people that go on before us. Living godly in an ungodly world is our responsibility. We not only have to speak the truth, we have to do the truth. And when we come into situations, whether it's at work or school or just in everyday life, God's Spirit will lead us what to say, how to say it, or maybe a time to hold your peace. That sound mind that we receive when we receive the Holy Ghost gives us the ability to make good judgment. That's what it means to be sound in all situations. As long as we are full of the truth and we are doing the truth on a daily basis, we do grow stronger and stronger in God. And we respond with the truth because it becomes automatic. That's the stronger one inside of us, that spirit of truth that lives inside of us. Those are everything I had tonight. Any other comments as we finish up? Any other thoughts or comments? Thank you very much for your participation. Next week, we'll be looking at verses 23 and 24 of Acts, the fourth chapter. I think it's actually question number 14. And again, thank you always for your participation. It's really a wonderful help. We certainly learn so much from each other.